Boy, I'm so glad to be a part of this meeting here. Shadeville Church of God, and of course, different ones are here, some from Flatwoods, and probably from some other churches, I'm not really sure. But I'm glad to be a part of what's going on here this week. Boy, that's kind of exciting when that choir, all those many people singing there that song, and I know we're singing to the Lord for the glory of God, but every now and then, you know, we need to say a few things to the devil. And I guess, you know, if we can say some things to the devil, we can sing a few things to the devil. Amen. I liked it when they're saying, get back. Get back, Satan, and give me some room. Can I hear an amen? Sister Marilyn Baker, back from our area in Indiana, when she was about 13 years old, of course, they pastor a church now down in Franklin, Indiana. She's probably in her mid-40s. I'm really not sure. But several years ago, when she was about 13, she wrote a song and went to church. She wasn't going to say anything about it. But her pastor, Brother Junior Burkhart, he's gone on to his reward now. He got a hold of the fact that she had wrote that song. So he asked her to sing that song that night. So she did it out of respect to her pastor. Amen. And I don't know if she dedicated it to the devil, but it sure was written. Amen. It says this, listen to me, devil. Tell you what I'm going to do. You've walked on me long enough. Now I'm going to walk on you. Hallelujah. I've heard her sing it many times and felt the glory of God go through my soul when she did. My wife's picked it up and we've sang it a lot of times. Well, sometimes we just got to put our foot down. Can I hear an amen? Got to draw a line in the sand. You remember when Moses did that one time? He drew a line in the sand and said, who is on the Lord's side? Come on now. You know, the devil, I'm not going to rail on him. You can be turning to the 16th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. I'm not going to rail on him here. You know, the Bible says that Michael, the archangel, when he was disputing with the devil over the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation. Amen. We got to be careful about that. That was Michael the archangel, and I'm certainly not anywhere near that level. He durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but this is what he said. The Lord rebuke thee. Can I hear an amen here tonight? Now he does have some power. He's the prince and the power of the air. But I'm going to tell you something. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And sometimes we just got to square our shoulders back and take authority. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I'm feeling a little better here tonight. Oh, my. Lift your hands and ask the Lord to speak to us tonight. Father, thank you so much for your people that are here in this building tonight. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your spirit. Oh, Lord. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. I'm asking you for an unction tonight to say just what you'd have me to. Nothing more, nothing less. Help us, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray, oh God, meet us in an altar tonight and do something for your glory. Oh God, in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. I can't get away from this text. Trying to seek the Lord today, and you know, I even tried to look at some other avenues, but I just can't get away from this text. And so, Charles Spurgeon, I don't quote him very often, but I read something he said one time. I think it was in his book, you know, the lectures to his students. He said, generally the text that's constantly pressed on the preacher's mind is the text that God is wanting the preacher to preach on. And so, you know, that's not the only thing I've got to go by is His Word. I've got the Holy Ghost. And I just feel a witness with some of the things that have already been said here tonight and just been on my mind all day here. This text. And so I want you to look here, 16th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. We'll kind of work our way into the verse I want to look at here. And so to kind of get the feel here, we'll start with the 13th verse. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That's one of the most important questions in the world. Can I hear an amen?
And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. That's where we draw the line with all other religions. We say that Jesus is the Savior. He is the only Savior. Do you know if Christians begin to suffer persecution in America, that's probably the issue that we're going to be persecuted over, is the fact that we stand and say He is the only Savior. The only way you can be saved is through Jesus. Can I hear an amen? I know that's basic stuff, but we don't need to forsake the basics. Some said you're John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Oh my. And this is where the atmosphere changes in this little conversation. This is it. Well, I start saying where electricity starts flowing, but it's more than electricity. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. My. Some of you preachers here tonight, have you ever had a burning message in your heart and preached it and felt like nobody caught on? Huh? Yeah, has anybody else ever been there besides me? These brothers are better communicators than I am, so probably not. But I felt like I had the mind of God. I felt like I had the text and did my best and preached and hollered and screamed and sweated and felt like I just nobody really caught on to what I was trying to say. Brother Francis, amen. Well, how many of you preached and you felt like folks did catch on? Hallelujah. Boy, that's a good feeling. My wife, she's been, doing homeschool this year, and our little girl Hannah is in kindergarten, and my wife taught her how to read this year. And, she'll peel off and read a sign when we're driving down the road, or, she'll read something, and my wife, you can just see her beam, and she'll turn around and say to Hannah, you just don't know how that makes me feel, Hannah, when you do stuff like that. Well, there's something about it when you feel like you're getting through. I think that's how Jesus felt right here when Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, I can see a flush of satisfaction and a smile of glee beam across the heart and the face of Jesus as He points at Peter and He says, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, Simon Bar-Jonah. You didn't just learn this by the miracles you saw me work, because a lot of other folks have seen those miracles. You didn't just put two and two together and come to that conclusion. But I want to tell you something, Peter. My Father which is in heaven has made this known unto you. You've got some inspiration here, Peter. Hallelujah. He felt like this little band of believers was stepping up to the plateau that he wanted them to step up to. Well, I'd like to step up here a little higher tonight. How about you? And please the Son of God. Come on now, wouldn't you like for Jesus to smile on how you walk out of this place here tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Woo. Somebody say amen. Brother Wendell Pittman told me one time, he said, if you really want to get a congregation's attention, he said, step up to the platform, and when you step in the pulpit, say to them, I'd like to get outside of the mercies of God tonight. He said, you'll get their attention. He said, and then tell him the next thing. I'd like to get outside of the mercies of God tonight and get in His favor. Oh, hallelujah. I'd like to do more than just walk on mercy tonight, but I'd like to walk in God's favor here tonight. Peter stepped up to a higher level of inspiration here. He had caught a hold of the main fact. Hallelujah, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hey, Peter, you've caught a hold of what I want everybody to catch a hold of. My, I'm going somewhere for the Lord to help me here tonight. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood is not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter. Come on. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Boy, that's a phrase that deserves a whole lot of preaching right there. upon this rock of revelation, this rock of proclamation. Can I hear an amen? But I got to move past that phrase tonight because I feel like God wants me to preach on the next phrase. Oh, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. I feel like preaching to you just a little bit here tonight. Brother Silvers, amen. I feel like preaching a little bit here tonight. On the gates of hell shall not prevail. Somebody say glory to God. Where's that choir? Say get back. Hallelujah. Huh? Yeah. This verse been burning on my heart all day. Couldn't get away from it. Amen. This choir get up here and sing, get back, Satan. Hallelujah. I want to preach to you tonight. On the gates of hell shall not prevail. Aren't you glad to know that truth here tonight? Oh, I love it. I love it. Jesus sets the record straight right here before things really get to moving like they're going to get moving. For he lays the foundation at Calvary. Hallelujah. Before he brings the infilling, amen, at Pentecost. Right here, he begins to unroll the blueprint of the ages. God's going to build a church. Up to this time, it's been kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. And now he uses this word, church. Hallelujah. Ecclesia is the Greek word, amen. It simply means a called out group. I'm going to call them out of Judaism. I'm going to call them out of the Gentiles. I'm going to bring them both together as one and break down the middle wall of partition between them. Somebody say hallelujah. When I get through with this thing, there's going to be someone out of every kindred, every tribe, every tongue, and every nation that'll stand in the glory world and say, I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. This is the plan of the ages. I'm going to build a church. Woo! Oh, see, I'm preaching to you a little bit here tonight. Would you help me just a little while? Well, I like it here because right here while he's reading the foundation, reading the blueprint, amen, while he's digging the footer, Brother Nichols, hallelujah, he takes time to say, amen, I'm just going to serve notice on hell right now. I'm just going to take time to let hell know, the enemy know right now, before I ever lay the first stone, before one drop of this precious blood ever is spilled on Calvary's cross, I'm going to build a church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Hey, listen, I'm the bearer of good news tonight. Hallelujah. There's a church coming out of this world. I've sat under the juniper tree before. I really have. I'm not going to throw stones at Elijah tonight because I've sat right down beside him. Amen. Oh, yeah. I've been there, amen. But I want to tell you something tonight. There's more than 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. Hallelujah. I talked to a fellow just the other day. He goes to our local church back in Indiana. He's not traveled the country very much, but he's done mission work over in Africa. He's been over there a number of times. And I applaud anybody that'll go, amen, to a region where others will not go. I appreciate his effort, amen. He said, I was talking to somebody. He's just not been out, amen, in the United States as much. He said, I was talking to somebody the other day. I think somebody over there in Africa. And he said, I really couldn't give him the report that I'd like to give him. He said, just what little I've seen. You know, there's not as much holiness as I'd like to see. Come on here. I said, brother, let me tell you something. There's holiness churches. Amen. I can speak for an area. Hallelujah. Between Pennsylvania. I'm not bragging tonight. Just help me preach here. Between Pennsylvania, Iowa, Texas, and South Carolina. I don't know everybody, but I know some folks that are living for God. I know some folks that are living holy. holiness. Can I hear an amen? There is a church that is alive. It's not all dark and drab. Amen. There's a living church in this world, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I know we're living in a wicked hour. I know that. I'm not trying to oversimplify here. And there's no way I can focus on all the truths. And so I guess I'm looking on the bright side here tonight. I know there's a dark side. I'm fully aware of it. God anoints me too. I'll preach on it one night. Amen. But there's a bright side too, brothers and sisters. You going to help me a little while here tonight? Everybody's not compromising. Everybody's not going charismatic. Come on now. Everybody ain't quit preaching wholeness. Hey, there's some preachers right up here. There's some preachers right out there. Somebody say hallelujah. Hey, there is still a church that the gates of hell shall not prevail against. Woo. Well, you talk about Israel having the high hand. I think the church can have the high hand. Let me talk to you a little bit here tonight. The gates. I got to working on me. The gates of hell. What is that? I don't think that Jesus is trying to give us a visual description of what hell looks like. I don't think hell has a fence around it. Come on now. I don't think he's talking about a literal gate here. Now, heaven's got a literal gate, and how do you know that? Well, because we're told what it's made of. It's made of pearl. We're told how many. Somebody help me here. We're told the literal elements that New Jerusalem is built out of. But what we've got here is not a literal description. We got a word picture. Amen. Now, I suppose the 16th chapter of Luke gives us a description of what hell was like. There was a great gulf. There's torment. There's darkness. There's flames. Jesus does describe hell in literal terms in other places. But that's not what's happening here. Amen. He's given us a word picture, something that we all understand, so that he can communicate another truth. Isn't that like Jesus to use a parable or a word picture or something like that? Oh, help me preach this little while here. The gates of hell. Well, I suppose if we're going to understand what this verse means, we need to understand what a gate is talking about. That's not something that's totally incomprehensible. That's something that's, you know, just everyday language here. The gate. What is a gate? A gate is an entrance. If you're going to go into a field or a state, amen, you've got to go through the gate. Oh, God. Help us here. Now, I'm no Greek scholar, but anybody can use a Strong's Concordance. And the word hell here, the Greek word, if I can borrow a little bit from that, is Hades. Just about every time in the New Testament, it is translated hell. But a few times, it's translated grave. And that gives us some indication here what he's talking about when he talks about the gates of hell. Amen. The entrance into the eternal world. The entrance into that awful place. Amen. The entrance, amen, that I'm talking about into the grave and into the eternal world. Amen. Is this thing called death? I've got some news for us here tonight. Amen. And it's really not new news, but just by way of reminding us here tonight, death shall not prevail over God's church. I'm going somewhere if you'll just go with me here tonight. How many will go with me on a little journey here tonight? Huh? Listen. Death is not the end for me and you, brother. Oh, hallelujah. You know, for thousands of years, death reigned as a king on this planet. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, from that time on, the Bible tells us that death stole a grip over humanity. Oh, hallelujah. No matter how wise, no matter how high or how holy they were, amen, only two were able to escape His clutches. That was Enoch, who God just mercifully took on out of here one day, and Elijah, whom God sent some royal chariots down to escort home one day. But other than that, everybody else felt the presence of this grim ruler, grim reaper, whatever you want to call Him, amen. Adam lived 930 years, but He knew death was on His trail. It wasn't 930 years before He saw death. He took Abel out to a graveyard and buried him and saw what had gotten a hold of the body of his second son. That cold lifelessness he knew was dogging him. And as he felt the strength wean out of his body, he knew one day he'd lay in a cold grave too. The Bible says from Adam unto Moses in the book of Romans that death reigned. You think Saddam Hussein's regime was a bitter regime? Death's regime knows no boundaries. Oh, God, help me to preach here tonight. Huh? Oh. Yeah, I don't know that Moses necessarily dethroned him. The Bible says from Adam to Moses he reigned. But, you know, it seems like he's still in full swing even after Moses gives us a law. The law just kind of uses him to enforce some of its penalties. But death is still putting his grip on everybody. He even got Moses. Oh, come on now. Huh? But one day, another king came walking down to earth. Oh, hallelujah. He laid aside some things. Oh, glory to God. He took on flesh. Hallelujah. And he walked down into this earth. A humble beginning. Born of a virgin, amen, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lay in a manger. It wasn't what many would think of the entrance as a king. Oh yeah, angels sung, I know that. But only a few shepherds heard Him. Amen. Oh yeah, wise men came. But just a few wise men. Somebody say amen here. For the most part, He lived 30 years unnoticed in obscurity. He dazzled the mind of a few doctors at the age of 12 and faded back into obscurity. Hallelujah. But 18 years later, at the age of about 30, He began to walk, amen, on this earth in a different manner. He started a ministry down at a wedding feast and turned water into wine. And all of a sudden, rumors were going forth. Hey, they're preaching. John the Baptist said there's another kingdom that is at hand. He pointed to a fellow over there and said He was the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. Some say He's Messiah. Some say He's the new king. Death wasn't too troubled, though. No, he still was on a rampage. And one day he had a sad procession, marched them in black outside of a city, little town by the name of Nain. Little woman dressed in black with a black handkerchief and a whole lot of tears. She was a widow. She had walked this way before. She had walked in these shackles and along this march and along this black road before and had buried her husband. And now she was going sadly with her only son back out to the graveyard. Oh, God, help me here. Have you ever walked with your loved one down that dark, drab, dreary road full of tears? And as the bier goes and the procession goes, all of a sudden a little peasant preacher, I know you know the story, but just bear with me while I tell it again. Outside of Galilee, hallelujah, steps up to the bier and stops the procession. And the before anybody can object to what He's doing, to His disturbing the solemnity of the moment. He speaks a word to the young man in the casket. And what happens? The young man sits up. Hallelujah. It's not a convulsion. He stands up. He's out of the casket. Mama throws her handkerchief down. Throws her sad bouquet away. Her tears of grief turn into tears of joy. She turns on her heels and marches back home. And the food brought in for the funeral is going to be used for the grandest party that the house has ever thrown. The saddest day I've ever known has turned to the grandest day I've ever seen. Death didn't get my little boy today. And a rumor goes out, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Oh God, help me preach just a little while here. Well, death staggers back. He's not been hit like this before. He had Enoch snatched away and Elijah snatched away. And oh yeah, I do remember a couple little boys that were snatched away, but I got them back again. So he regains his composure. What's one among so many? I'm still the king of this planet. Oh, and he looks out over his domain, all the graveyards around Jerusalem, and feels sound and secure once again. Finally, he decides to embarrass this new proclaimed king who's embarrassed him. And so he decides to strike a little girl that he's on his way to heal. You know the story. The procession gets disturbed. The woman with the issue of blood presses in to get healed. And Jairus, the whole thing is disturbed. While he's there, as they begin to mobilize and start heading back down to his house for Jesus to heal his daughter, all of a sudden, some long-faced figures come up over the horizon and catch Jairus' attention. Amidst all the rejoicing of the healing, and they say, trouble not the master any further. That was a good idea while you had it, Jairus. You tried, son. You did your best. I'm sorry it happened this way, but you know, even if there hadn't been an interruption, you probably wouldn't have made it. It was a sad thing. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but we need you at home right now, Jairus. We've got to prepare a funeral. Your wife is grieving and come on. And Jairus is numb from the news and before tears can begin to roll down his cheeks, Jesus looks over at him and speaks these bewildering words. Fear not, only believe. I don't think he knew what was going to happen. I think he walked along numbly, trying to figure out what was going on. Maybe he's going to preach the funeral for me. That'll save me a lot of trouble. Right now, I'm so in distress. Yes, I'll give him a place of honor. Yes, I'll let him speak. It's the least I can do. And they get to the house and it seems Jesus is taking a little more control than what he should. He dismisses all the mourners. They're just fake mourners anyhow. Nobody there but mom and dad. And three trusted disciples. What's he going to do? I'd like to have a bigger crowd than this for the funeral here today. I say unto thee, little maid, arise! Don't you think you ought to give her something to eat? And mama's tears turn into tears of joy. They can't believe it. She's not dead. She's alive! And the rumor goes out, amen, the gates of hell shall not prevail! Oh, I need to hurry up here tonight. I'm going somewhere. Oh, God. Well, this time death's really embarrassed. You know, he lost one to Elijah and one to Elisha, but he's lost two to this peasant from Galilee. All right, I'm going to teach him a lesson. No more little boys. No more little girls. And so he sets his sights close to home. I'm going to get somebody he knows, somebody he loves. I'm going to hurt him. Oh, God. Not just a widow's family, not just a ruler of the synagogue's family. I'm going to touch somebody that's close enough to be His family. Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. He caught Jesus about 50 miles away and thought He was sneaking up behind Him. Oh, little did He know that this was in the master plan of God to give Him the greater glory. Somebody help me preach a little while tonight. Oh, yeah. He steals across Lazarus' brow and makes it cold. Sucks the very life from his bosom. Puts him in a tomb. Seals the door. That little boy wasn't buried yet. That little girl hadn't got cold yet. But I've got him. One day goes by, 2 days go by, 3 days go by. On the third day, he enlists one of his chief cohorts called corruption that sneaks behind that stone and rakes his ugly fingers and defiles the body and goes and stands stalwart-like out in front of the tomb with his arms folded. Death stands out there. Corruption stands out there. Now let's see what he'll do. He got that little boy. He got that little girl. But I've never lost one that's been in my grip for 3 days. And I've had him for 4. Corruption. Once he raked his fingers across them, they never returned to the land of the living. We've got him this time. Look! Look! He's crying! I've got him! And death dances with glee. And corruption shouts a hideous shout. Amen. But all of a sudden they hear the words, Lazarus, come forth. And death's steely fingers cannot hold. And corruption finds a hole to hide in. Roll away the stone. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Oh God. Well, this time death runs off like a dog with his tail between his legs. Huh? When he finally gains his composure, he's like a wounded animal. More dangerous than ever before. More embarrassed and humiliated than he's ever been. This is war. No more little boys, no more little girls. No more close friends. He sets the crosshairs on the king. Oh, God, help me to preach a little while here tonight. He stirs up all the powers of the Roman Empire. He enlists all the powers of the Jewish church. He sneaks and connives with one of his trusted disciples and gets Judas to be the betrayer. Waits till a moment of seeming weakness when he prays until his sweat turns as great drops of blood and brings this entourage of hell down upon Jesus like never has there been an attack on a man in all of this world. Marches him through a kangaroo court. Hey, death is so mad, he says a stoning will not do. Throwing him off a hill at Nazareth will not do. I'm going to torture him at the point of death as long as I can on a Roman cross and make him feel the pains of death for 6 long hours. Oh, I need to preach to you tonight. Listen. Oh God, help me here tonight. What a death. Jesus died. We don't need a movie to understand it, brothers and sisters. All we need is an open heart and the Holy Ghost. Can I hear an amen? Huh? That's right. Oh, what suffering. Laid him behind the stone. Oh, I know we know the story. But we should never cease to get excited about it. We should never cease to tell the story. Oh, I can see death with satisfaction drive the nails in His hands. I can see death as He smiles every time Jesus slides up and down the cross to get a painful breath for 6 long hours. Finally, it's music to death's ears as Jesus cries these words, "It is finished." Hell breaks out in pandemonium. Death throws a party. Did you hear? We have won. That right there. Amen. He has given up. He said it is finished. Hallelujah. I'll let whoever wants to bury Him. Let them bury Him wherever they want to. I don't care if it fulfills any prophecies. I have slain Him. I have destroyed the King of Life. Death rules. Darkness will forever reign. I am King Supreme over this earth. And the first day they party. The second day they feast. But on the third day. The disciples haven't even caught on to what's going to happen. The women with spices and balm haven't even caught on to what's going to happen. But the angels already rolled the stone back. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. But wait a minute. Lazarus raised to die again. The widow's son met death again and was conquered. Hallelujah. But Jesus rises to immortality. And just to show His power, He does not rise alone. But in the 28th chapter of Matthew, the Bible tells us many bodies of the saints arose and appeared in Jerusalem. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Well, I wish you'd share some of my joy. It's just the most exciting story that's ever been told. You sing your songs again, hallelujah. We don't have to wait till Easter to preach on the resurrection. He's alive! Woo! Oh, I think we need to get a little more excited about the resurrection. Pardon me for being so rough here tonight, but a little bit more than what we do over a goose bump every now and then. I'm excited over the Holy Ghost. I am too. But you know what the Holy Ghost is? He is the seal of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Jesus sent Him to prove it, that He was alive, ever liveth, sitting at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. Oh, hallelujah. Well, it's pretty exciting when you talk about what happened 2,000 years ago. But it gets more exciting when you realize the umbrella of this victory extends over this generation. You don't have to be a college graduate to understand it. You don't have to be an orator to explain it. Grandma Lloyd was a poor country woman from Harlan County, Kentucky, and she got a hold of it. And she walked out to the graveyard one day to bury Leonard, her beloved husband, with a tear in her eye. And a grand hope in her heart. Oh, hallelujah. I wasn't there when Papa Lloyd died. Amen. I don't know much about the funeral. All I know is Claude Ely walked in to that little church down in Cumberland before the casket, quoting the 23rd Psalm. That's about all I know besides the fact that he preached the funeral, amen, about the procession that day. But I know Mamma Lloyd walked out of that graveyard with a hope in her heart. How do you know that? Because of what she had chiseled in the granite tombstone. Hallelujah. What was it? Something that any little country woman from Kentucky could understand. Are you listening to me here tonight? And just a little saying, till resurrection morning. Hallelujah. I'm going to lay Leonard down, but Leonard's going to get up. I might lay down by him one of these days, but I'm going to get up with him. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Okay. Oh God. Oh God. Okay. Okay. I guess it is a little hard to get excited about a resurrection. Because, you know, there's that nagging thought in the back of everybody's mind. Before you have a resurrection, you got to have a funeral. Not so. Not so. Are you hearing me here? This mortality, not so anymore, does it have to go through the grave to have hopes of putting on immortality? Oh, somebody say hallelujah. Oh yeah, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Amen. That's so we don't get a 6-foot head start on them. But we're not going to be left out, brothers and sisters. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, God. You know, Brother Nichols, I'm going somewhere tonight. I'm laying a big foundation, and I'm going to preach to you for a few minutes here. Oh, God, help me here. Oh, God, help me. You know, Brother Nichols, the world has never seen a victory parade like we're going to see one of these days. We got any World War II veterans in here tonight? There aren't many more of them left. Amen. Most of them's in their late 70s and 80s by now. I know a few of them. I can't imagine what it was like when they marched down the streets of New York City. When they came home from Europe and Japan. Oh, God, help me to preach a little while here tonight. Huh? Streamers everywhere. Banners and flags everywhere. Confetti. Can you imagine a soldier kissing that bride that he kissed her before he left and hadn't kissed her? Amen. Through all those battles, just letters here and there when the mail could get them to him. He finally meets her on the streets of this American city. Amen. And kisses her again. What a reunion. Can you imagine, amen, the daddies that have come back home to see that little baby that mama wrote and told them about that they've never laid their eyes on, that gave them something to fight to come back home to, and they sweep that beloved bride off her feet, amen, and then pick that baby up. What a reunion. No doubt there's a little bit of sadness thinking of their fallen comrades, but what pride, what rejoicing over a job where well done! But we have our victory parades on home territory. We're going to get home one of these days, Brother Phillips. And we'll do some shouting then. But you know what? We're not going to wait till we get home before the parade starts. I'm preaching to you tonight, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Oh, God, help me. You know where the powers of hell are, don't you? The prince and the power of the air. Oh, come on. One guy preached one time, what's over my head's under his feet. Amen. Thank God. But it's over my head. Can I hear a witness here tonight? Oh, hallelujah. But you know what's going to happen one of these days? The captain of our salvation is going to leap over the portals of glory. Oh, glory to God. And the glorious army is going to burst the graves. Hallelujah. And leave gravitation. And they're going to meet the Lord in the air. Right in the devil's territory. Right where the principalities are. Right where his strongest powers are. God's going to blow a hole right through the middle of it. And the saints are going to dance on enemy territory. And the devil's just going to watch. And death is just going to watch as he realizes that millions are passing. Amen. Well beyond his grip. He can never, never, never touch them again. The gates of hell shall not prevail. I've lost you tonight. Never feel his temptation again. Never feel his pressure again. Never have to dodge his traps again. And Satan will watch humiliated as the church passes victorious through his domain. Somebody say hallelujah. No doubt singing, the gates of hell shall not prevail. That's not something to fear anymore, Brother Joey Silvers. He's just a doorman. He's just an escort to take us to our glorious reward. Let me preach to you a little while tonight. Now, if death is the last enemy, and one of the greatest enemies that the human race has fought, and Jesus has conquered him, then let me ask you tonight, what other enemy can stand before God's church? Oh, hallelujah. Armies march out into the battlefield in this day we're living in, and the only thing they have to fear is death. But I'm here to tell you something tonight. This army called God's church doesn't even fear death. Hallelujah. That greatest and grandest enemy has been, amen, his stinger has been removed, and Jesus reigns, and we have eternal life, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I want you to raise your hands and ask God to help us tonight. Oh, God. Oh, God. God, Lord God. Let me preach to you a little bit longer tonight. See, a gate's not just an entrance. A gate is an enclosure. I preach it to you tonight. You know why... Oh, God, help me here tonight. You know why some of us struggle so much?
Oh, God, help me. Because hell has lured us into something. And shut its gates around us. And bound us. I go to churches, Brother Jerry, and I see good Christian people with their heads hung low and their hands hung low and their dance is long gone because they're bound by some hellish design. Oh, God, help me. They come into church and they can't get the help they need because they can't press through the bitter feelings that have bound their heart. I told you last night, and I'll tell you again, they sit on the pew, and the message cannot penetrate, amen, because of all of the ungodly thoughts that are running through their mind that they have not yet harnessed unto the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. And even though they understand in their mind there is a resurrection, they're not living in the power of a resurrection. Resurrection's for the body, but that's not the only thing Jesus wants to give His church. Revival is for the soul. I want to tell you something here tonight, brothers and sisters, the church does not have to be bound. Hallelujah, but we can be alive. We can be in revival. We do not have to be bound. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Oh, God. Oh, God. I run the risk of being misunderstood right now. But will you just give me the benefit of the doubt? Most of you know me. Some of you don't. Will you just give me the benefit of the doubt? Let me preach to you for just a little bit here tonight. Come on now here. If you don't understand something I say, I mean, if I'm saying it, I'm sure you'll probably more than understand it. It can't be too complicated. But sometimes I just don't express myself as clear as I need to, Brother Nichols. Amen. Come on, help me preach just a little while here tonight. You remember Samson. I don't condone everything he did, but I think we can learn some lessons from that man. And let me say this. The last chapter on his life is the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Let's never forget that. Somebody said amen. Do you remember when he went down to that city of the Philistines? I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe he went down there to spy it out, to wage war against it. That was the purpose that he went down and obtained the Philistine bribe. The Bible said that it was of the Lord, that he might seek occasion against them. That's what the Bible says. I believe he had that same plan in mind when he went down to that city the second time. Amen. He goes down as God's agent, God's deliverer, to wreak havoc on the enemies of God. But when he gets down there, the devil has laid a trap for him. He don't just stand by and let us do what we want to do. Bible doesn't say he went down to find a harlot. The Bible said he went down, and when he went down, he saw a harlot. The devil made sure she was in his view. And he saw her. And she allured him. And she enticed him. There's a bunch of churches being allured by a harlot of worldliness today. Can I hear an amen? I read in my Bible there's a bribe which represents the church. But I also read about a harlot which represents a worldly church. We got that in our hour. Can I hear an amen? It seduced some of our preachers. It seduced some of our churches. It seduced some of our friends. Some that had a powerful ministry. Some that had a touch of God on their life, Brother Nichols. Some who had pure intentions, amen. The devil brought a seduction. seductress, amen, in front of them and seduced them, and they've compromised.
Amen. Come on.
Oh, God, help us. She seduced him. Oh, listen, I don't condone what he did. Not for 1 minute. Not for 1 second. Do I pass across it lightly? He went in unto her. And in the midnight hour, they shut the gates of that city on him. Oh, God, help me. Saying, we've got him now. We'll destroy him now. Oh, God, help me preach tonight. Yeah, that's what the devil's doing to some churches and to some folks. Amen. In our churches today, he's closing the gates on them. And he's got a plan of destruction. Listen, I don't condone what Samson did. It's a pitiful thing for him to be where he's at. But let me tell you the whole story here tonight. Let's not just tell half the story. In the midnight hour, as dark as it was, and as bad of a place he was in, the Bible tells me that Samson woke up in the midnight hour. Oh, God, help somebody to wake up in the midnight hour. He turned his back on his sin, and he turned his heart back towards God. I'm going to tell you what, anybody that will turn their back on sin and walk away from it and turn their face toward God and walk towards Him, my God is a merciful God. Hallelujah. He picked up the gates of the city, took them to the top of the hill, and I'm going to tell you tonight from his life, the gates of hell shall not prevail. It ain't over till it's over. There is hope for revival. Oh, God, help me. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't quit praying, mother. Don't quit praying, daddy. Don't quit praying. I don't care how bad a bed they're in and how dark it is. God can wake them up in a midnight hour. And if they'll turn their back on Him, God, amen. If they'll turn their back on sin, God can set them free. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Ah, such were some of you. Some of us came out of some dark holes that are here tonight. And we're a living testimony of the fact that the gates of hell shall not prevail. Woo! Somebody say hallelujah. I'm quitting tonight. Just a minute. The gates of hell. It's a word picture. Symbolizes death. Symbolizes bonds. And a prison house. I don't have time to preach on all the things that bind people. Oh, God, help me tonight. I got to move on. You know what the gate was, and I'm going to quit here in just a little bit. Brother Nichols, the gate. Come here, brother. Come here, Brother Jerry. The gate is where the elders would get together. It's where the talking heads would get together. The leaders. Huh? Jehoshaphat and Ahab sat together in the gate, and they listened to the prophets and made counsel at the gate whether or not to go to war. Boaz went down to the gate, and that's where he did all the transaction and made all the public plans to take Ruth as his wife. Amen. It was in the gate. Amen. Thank you, brothers. You can go back where you was at there here tonight. I want to tell you something here tonight, brothers and sisters. Hell has got some talking heads. And they're getting together. And they've got a design. for you. I wonder what kind of plan hell's got for you, Sister Knox. I wonder what their conversation has been lately as they view your life and plan traps to lay before you. Oh, God, help me here. Prayer warrior, they'd really like to get you. And damage not just a life, but a whole family. And a whole congregation. Oh, I wish I could preach to you here tonight. Piano player? Oh, they'd love to get you. In the public eye. And the rest of us would hang our harps on the willow. They got a plan for you, sis. Even though you're the pastor, sister. They got a plan for you. Maybe that's just part of the plan. Amen. For sneaking in to the Nichols family. You going to help me here tonight? Oh, he'd sure like to take the pastor out. Amen. Or another preacher in the church. I'm talking to you here tonight. Hey, young person, I want to tell you something. Hell has got a plan for you.
I wonder
what kind of plan they got for me and you, preacher. Huh? Oh, God, help me here tonight. Yeah. That won't stop you from ever having any kind of ministry. That's the plan of hell. But it ain't the plan of God. I'm 37 years old. I've not been through near as much as some of you've been through. Oh, God, help me here tonight. But I can remember Brother Noah Phillips, standing as a 7-year-old boy, brokenhearted, looking at my broken home and feeling the pressures of hell trying to destroy me at that early of an age. Are you going to help me preach just a little while tonight? Oh, don't you think that the devil's forgotten the children? He's got some real plans to ruin this generation before they can ever even hit their teenage years. He don't wait till they're teenagers and then start youth camp. Amen. He's working on them as soon as they draw. No, not as soon as they draw their first breath. He's trying to destroy them by abortions before they ever draw their first breath. Oh, I need to preach to you just a few more minutes here tonight. You felt his pressure. You felt his designs. You've seen his devices. And there have been times that you, just like I, haven't even realized the trap that you just came to. Till the mercies of God brought you on the other side of it. And you look back with great joy and relief that God had brought you through once again. But Brother Francis, I can look back at 7 from age 37 and see that I made it to 8. Hallelujah. And the gates of hell did not prevail. And I made it to 12, Brother Jerry. Hallelujah. Oh, listen. And the gates of hell did not prevail. God, help me here. I made it to 15 and the gates of hell did not prevail. I'm not telling you I made it to 18. Amen. Without a few little scars. Amen. But the gates of hell did not prevail. And I made it to 21 and I made it to 25 and I stepped into my 30s and I'm here at 37 tonight and I can look back over my life and tell you thus far the gates of hell have not prevailed. I'm here tonight by the grace of God. And if I can come this far, I can go all the way. Woo! I'm telling you tonight, you don't have to fall prey to it. The gates of hell will not prevail. conquered it. Devils, Jesus said, I conquered them. The gates of hell, they shall not prevail. Oh, go ahead, rejoice tonight. Victory is ours. Victory is ours. This may not be the rapture, but we can get raptured in our soul right now, rejoicing in the victory that Jesus has given us. Hey. Oh God. Oh God. I'm about to quit here. Listen, did you know that the church's victory over the devil and demons is so incidental that Jesus told us not to even rejoice about it. But to rejoice that our name was written in heaven. Yeah, I know the devils are subject to you. Don't get all excited over that. Get happy because your name is written in heaven. That's why hell cannot prevail over my church! Woo! Listen. Some of you are under attack tonight. Oh, go ahead, shout the victory, sister. Somebody else needs to get some courage tonight, so they can get the victory too. Some of you are under attack tonight. There's been devils diving down at you for a good while now. Huh? And hell's trying to shut its gates of bondage around your heart and mind. And the talking heads have laid another trap for you. And you may not even know what it is, but you sense the danger that you're in a terrible, terrible time right now. I read about time. I'm going to do this different tonight. I hope you'll just follow me here as I try to follow the Lord. I read about time, Brother Nichols, when Nehemiah was trying to build up the wall in troublous times. And the enemy was putting so much pressure on him. They never knew when he was going to hit him next and which direction he was going to hit him in. He said, you keep a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. And keep a trumpet close by. And if they attack where you're at, blow the trumpet. I'll lay my trowel down and come with my sword to where you are. And if they blow it over here, we'll get you out of your jam and go over here and help them fight the battle. We're going to work and fight and do the will of God, and we will build this wall, and Sanballat and Tobiah shall not prevail. And they didn't either. You're here tonight. I'm not saying you're backslid, but you're under the gun. And you're feeling the pressure of hell right now. The talking heads are putting some pressure on you. I want you to slip your hand up right where you're standing. Right now. Get it up. Come on now. Hold it up. Oh God. Hold it up. I tell you what we're going to do tonight, church. It's different. But instead of them coming to us, we're going to go to them. Is that all right? We're in this thing together, Brother Nichols. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Come on. I want some of you sisters to come right over here. There's a trumpet sounding right here. Hold your hand up. Come on. Come on. Get over there. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, brothers. Come on. Come on. We got the victory. Come on now. enemy. I've got victory over the enemy. And this world can do me no harm. I've got victory over the enemy.
Right,
I've got victory.
Right here.
Come over on. The
give
enemy.
The
I've
right
got
here.
Victory. I've got victory over the enemy. I've got victory over the enemy, and this world can do me no harm. Wounded in the battle, cut the battle scars to show. Into the fire, storm and rain, he's still the same, I know. I've got victory over the enemy. This world can do me no harm. I've got victory over the enemy. I've got victory over the enemy. I've got victory.
Oh, that's it. There's no big
eye enemy.
And no little you. It's a church where we're built up together. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against God's church.
I've got victory over the enemy. And this world can do me no harm. I've got victory over the enemy. I've got victory over the enemy. I've got victory.